In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Let's continue our commentaries on the first epistle of St. John, the second chapter, the end of the second chapter, verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But at the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true. When he say you do not need anyone to teach you, it does not mean that we, the members of the church, need not to be taught again. But he mentioned this because some people were seeking the truth away from the church. They are trying to listen to other teachers different from those of the church, the big liars following devil. So he's telling us you need not to know the knowledge of God away from God. The knowledge of God is in the church, given by the Holy Spirit. And the church is following the role model of Christ and is delivering the real message of the truth. We all need to follow this and to practice the truth. And it's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him. If you are following with us, you know, you can see that the word abide comes many times. Because this is one of the key words given by St. John. You can consider this word of to be abided to Christ or in God is the goal of spiritual life. We are living our spiritual life in order to abide us ourselves in God, to have this fellowship, the partnership with the Holy Spirit. Little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him. So, when Christ comes, his second coming, on the clouds, we have confidence that we are his sons and daughters. We are the members of his body. We are the real followers of his teaching because we lived our life in this abiding attitude. He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Again, the same meaning given in the first chapter, that if you are real member in the body of Christ, you should be as righteous as him. You should follow his commandment of love. You should live in light, not in darkness. The third chapter. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Back to the idea of God is love. The whole story of salvation started because God loved man. Man is the beloved creature of God. We are his sons and daughters. God the Father couldn't see us going to hell and just be passive. Because of his love, he sent his son, the Logos, to save us. So, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. So, we are reconsidered as children of God after his salvation. The idea of salvation is the restoration of this being children of God. Christ restored to us the image distorted by us. The image of God in our life were distorted by our sin, by our free will. And with the coming of Christ, with the redemption given by the Lord Jesus Christ, we restored the image. We restored the being the children of God. We should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. So the world cannot understand why these Christian people are living this good life. Why they just love everyone. Why they are not busy making money. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. What does he mean by the world does not know us? Simply, the world cannot identify our philosophy of life. Why these good Christians love everyone? Why these people are not busy making money? Why they are not, you know, living the life of lust, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, the pride of the life? All people are busy with this. So the world cannot understand, and the world cannot know us, because simply the world could not know the Lord. The world ignored the incarnation and the redemption given by the Lord Jesus Christ. So, consequently, he will ignore the presence of children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him, beloved. Now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Now, after baptism, after the belief in Christ, after the Holy Myron being the altars of the Holy Spirit, now we are the children of God. But still, we are living and suffering. We don't have an easy life in this world. We still be persecuted by the world. Yes, but we are the children of God. But in his second coming, in the afterlife, we will be glorified as the children of God. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. One may ask, aren't we now Christ-like? No, not yet. We are trying to be in his likeness. But the glory of the Lord, the full picture of the saved man, is not yet there. But we will gain this in the second coming. We will be glorified. So this will happen. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. So, we saw him when he became man 2,000 years ago. People saw him. And we can see him with the Holy Spirit, with the gifts in the church, with the holy sacrament, like the sacrament of Eucharist. We can see him in his children, in the poor people, in the sick people. But we will see him as he is, with our eyes, in the second coming. And with this minute of the day of judgment, we will be glorified, we will be like him. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we are still in the process of purification. We are trying to be pure like him, to love people with his heart. So we are always in a state of struggle, spiritual warfare, to be like him, as pure as him. But the full picture, the maximum, the optimum, the last level, we will achieve in heaven with his grace. Everyone who had this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So he added now the word of hope. If you are following the words of St. John, he started with faith, to believe in Christ, the fully God and fully man in one person, and to believe in his acts. He came to us to save us, and to believe in his character, to live the life of love, to follow him. So with faith, we need to love everyone. And also we need hope. Hope for the other life, for the kingdom of heaven. We cannot be saved just by love and faith. We need the third pillar of Christianity to live the life of hope. We are living in a hopeful way that we are waiting for his second coming to be glorified with him. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin. Lawlessness is the exact meaning of sin, that we break the rule, break the law. And the law in the New Testament is much higher than the Old Testament. It's the law of love. It's the perfect law. It's to give your life fully to God. It's to be ready to die just to love everyone. It's to forgive whatever people sinned against you. So this is the law of the New Testament. And any sin is considered a sin when it breaks any law. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sin has neither seen him nor known him. You know, St. John meant by this, whoever abides in him does not sin, that the new nature of Christian, the one who is busy to follow Christ's steps, cannot sin by his will. It's, you know, when he sin, he feel bad, because this is not his nature. But he's still weak. He's a human being. He's liable to sin. But life of sin is not his new life. So when he abides himself in God, he cannot easily sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sin has neither seen him nor known him. Meaning that whoever sin by his free will, and he lived the life of sin, actually he cannot say that I know God or I saw him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Again, the same important point mentioned by St. John, you cannot say that you are a real Christian and you accept sins in your life. If you are really a good Christian, if you are following Christ, you cannot accept sinful life anymore. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For his purpose, the Son of God was manifested. So, the source of sin is devil. It's never God. God is the source of righteousness. God is always righteous. God is perfect. God is good. Whatever bad is not coming from God. You cannot say that God pushed me to sin. That's a big lie. Because God is good. God can never push anyone to do bad things, because in God's nature, he is always righteous. He is just, he is good. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. So God came to our land to conquer the kingdom of evil and to end the story of devil forever. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So you can answer the common question of why God became man, simply as given by St. John here, to destroy the works of the devil. We are living in this world, which was, you know, distorted world, because of the works of the devil. God came to us to save us and to destroy these works of devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Again, the nature of the newly born from God, those who were given the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, after baptism, their new nature cannot sin. The good nature given by God, born from the Spirit, born of heaven, cannot sin. For this, his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So when you sin, you just, at that minute, you ignored the new birth from God and you lived as a usual worldly man and you lived in your old nature. That's why you had done a sinful act. But if you follow your new nature and you stick, you abide yourself with Christ, you cannot sin. And this, the children of God and the children of devil are manifest. So you can see clearly the difference between children of God who are always like God, following God, loving people like God, love to be pure, aims at the eternal life, and the children of devil busy with the lusts of this world, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of this life. So it's easy to see the difference. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. And everyone should evaluate himself on this. People can see in you a real son or daughter of God, or people cannot see the difference between you and other children of devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So living in righteousness equal loving your brother all the time. And again, I want to repeat that to love people is not to feel good feelings, it's to act good acts, is to forgive, is to give, is to serve, is to endure, is to care for, is to think of. So it's a decision you make always. Whatever and whoever lives around you, you are taking this Christian loving attitude all the time. He who does not love his brother, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. St. John gave us an example of the children of God and children of devil. The children of God, like Abel, loved his brother. And the children of evil, of devil, he could not love his brother. He murdered him. And he was innocent. Abel was not a bad guy. But because of the bad feelings, he killed his brother. So up to this, that's very clear. Children of God are always busy to give life, eternal life to their brothers. And children of evil are killing children of God. And that's the exact story in all generations. Glory to God. Amen.